and everyone that's visiting. I'm not sure the sisters on my right, but I know their mother. And we just want to welcome everyone here tonight. And we want to just learn from a lesson that I want to bring to everyone's attention, entitled Learning to Live by Faith. Learning to Live by Faith. I want to thank Brother Randy for inquiring about a song. And I wanted it to be about a song of faith, because that's what our lesson is about, and that's where our mind should be at this time. And in this lesson, I just want to bring to your attention some things that faith can do in our lives. We use faith every day and may not even recognize it sometime. In my studies on this lesson, I found a verse that I had pinned to my mirror. It's Philippians 4:13. This is about faith. I can do everything. I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. My lesson text is from Matthew, the 14th chapter. Matthew 14, chapter, verse 28. And this is Peter. He's asking a request of the Lord when the Lord came to them during a late night hour. And everyone was crying out in fear. But Peter said, "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." And Peter had faith to come down from the boat. But once life's troubles and the wind being life's troubles blew his way, he began to sink because he took his eyes off of Jesus. So we need to remember to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to continue to study his word and to see the things that he has for us. You know, this lesson is not just for you. This lesson is for me. I bring it to you because it's easier for me to present this lesson, because it's something that I need in my life. My first point that I want to bring to you is that faith enables us to live above common trials. And common trials is defined common to man, meaning that the trials that come upon Christians are the same as occurred to all men. We have the same trials as everyone else in this world. And we have to deal with them in a Christian-like way, though. Everyone doesn't deal with trials the way we do. They might have the hope that we should have. We have a Savior that is ready at any time to immediately help us. When Peter began to sink, the Lord immediately reached out his hand to save Peter's life. Peter asked, "Save me, Lord," and he immediately did so. We live life, and we will have troubles. We will have trials and tribulations in this life. I remember our brother. I can't remember his name now. But he would pray about our trials and tribulations. He would thank the Lord for them, because sometimes we need them to strengthen us in our life. that we can keep moving forward in this world. 1 Corinthians 10, if you would turn over there. 1 Corinthians 10, and starting at verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. You know, my mother, she always likes to say that for herself, and I'm sure it's for anyone that she's talking to that God will not tempt you beyond what you're able to deal with. He will not send you any more troubles that you can handle. You can handle the things of this life if you have God in your life. You know, this tells me that God is in control. God is in control. If He can tell you, or if He can present these things to you and let you, and expect you to be triumphant in these things, He is in control. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So that you can stand up under it. We can be victorious in the trials and tribulations that we face in our life. We face trials. We face job losses. You know, we have to have faith. We face sicknesses, just as was presented in the announcements. Betty Beck, she's been taking care of her husband, and now she's dealing with sickness. She has to have faith that the Lord will continue to bless her. We have to have faith when we have shortage of funds. We have to have faith when we have disagreements with others and with our loved ones. We should remember that the Lord is Lord of everyone, and we can have disagreements, but we must remember we need to love one another. We need to love one another. We have friendships that go by the wayside sometime. We have to have faith that we might be able to have some kind of agreement to disagree sometimes. We have to have faith when we have marriages that are on the rocks. We have to come back to the Lord and start with a basis. You know, that's why it seems hard sometimes to see how, if you're not following the Lord, how can you make it sometime when you don't have a starting point? And that's what it seems like. You don't have a starting point when you don't have the Lord in your life. My next point is that what faith can do is faith can test the waters between the known and the unknown. It can help you test those waters. And one of the points that I've written down here is Abraham's offering. And we're talking about when Abraham was about to offer up his son, and the Lord stayed his hand. Let's turn over to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Genesis 22. Verses 15 through 18. Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 through 18. And it says, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. You see, what Abraham's faith did for his people, and what an example for us. Who hasn't read this verse of scripture and recognized the faith that Abraham had in the Lord to offer up his one and only son when him and his wife had not been able to have children, and Caleb's courage. We surely remember that in the book of Numbers, Caleb's courage. Let's turn over there, Numbers, the 13th chapter. Caleb's courage was about when Caleb and Joshua spied out the land and came back with a report that the land could be taken, but the other spies gave a negative report, and the people of Israel were in the desert for many years for the mistake of listening to them instead of Caleb and Joshua. Verse 30 in chapter 13 says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. We can certainly do it. Caleb knew that they could take the land. They came out with a report that they could do it. Although it was giants in that land, we will come up against giants in our life. We will have problems that may seem as large as Goliath, but we can overcome them. We can overcome them with the Lord in our life. If we would study His Word, would pray to the Lord, if we would look to hear songs sent up in His name and worship with one another and live our lives righteously, we can be victorious. Job's patience is another test that we want to look at. Job's patience in Job, the book of Job. Job, the 19th chapter. You have to forgive me. Testing is what we're looking at. Job 19, verse 25 through 27. Says, I know that my Redeemer lives. This is a song, I think. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. And in the end, He will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see Him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Job had faith that he would see the Lord. We know Job's story. And we have to have faith, because sometimes things look to be lost, but they're not. They're not. The Lord is in control. He's controlling our life, and if we're doing what the Lord asked us to do, He will bring us through. He will make us victorious. Also, Daniel's refusal. Daniel's refusal to eat and drink from the king's table. Andy, could you read Daniel 1 and 8 for me?
But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself.
You see, faith. Daniel had faith. He was persecuted for his praying. They knew that the only way they could bring something up against Daniel to the king is through his praying, because Daniel did all things and he did them in the right way. He refused to eat of the king's table. He did not want to defile himself because of the way that the food that was served to them was foods that were sacrificial foods, and they were prepared in a way that was unacceptable to be eaten. Continue to read.
Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs.
Okay.
And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king." So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants." So he consented with them in this matter, and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies, and the wine that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables.
All right. See, Daniel did this. He did not want to get anyone else in trouble, but he had faith that the Lord would do the things that he promised to do. The Lord would do the things that he promises to do in our lives. We see promises in the Bible. We can depend on these promises to be true. The Word of God is true. And he talked about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Do you have Daniel 3:16 through 18?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up."
You know, these three young men, they told a king that they would not worship his idols. They did not care what the king's response or how he felt, because it says in the verses of scripture that his countenance changed, his face changed. They could see him getting angry, but that was not their concern. Their concern was to please God. So they explained to the king. They did it in a respectful manner, but they did it where that he understood they would not listen to what he had to say about worshiping his idols. Okay, my third and final point is on what faith can do. Faith realizes that underneath The underneath are the everlasting arms of God. I want to turn over to Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. Matthew 8:8 says, the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. You know, this centurion felt unworthy. We should feel unworthy. He felt unworthy for the Lord to come into his house. We should feel unworthy just because the Lord will put us where we need to be in life. We don't need to try to put ourselves there. The Lord will put us there. Let's see. Also, I want to look at Luke to help us look deeper into the Lord being beneath us and lifting us up. Luke 15, verse 18 and 19. Luke 15, verses 18 and 19 says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. And we can see from the words that this is the prodigal son. This is the parable of the prodigal son, where it says lost son in the NIV. But it's the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son. And we remember that on his awakening to go back to his father, that he felt an unworthiness. So he planned out everything that he would do before he got back to his father's house. And if you continue reading on through these passages, you know that his father would not even hear what he had to say. He brought out, he had the fatted calf killed. He put shoes on his feet. He put a ring on his finger. He brought out the best robes. His son that was lost had come home. It's time to celebrate. It's time to celebrate. And we need to be taught. We need to be faithful enough to be taught. Look at Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 23. Matthew 13, verse 23. This is talking about teachableness. Matthew 13, verse 23. Says, but the one who received the seed, that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. Also, let's look at Luke chapter 8, verse 15. You see, along with being the seeds being put on good soil, it had to be faith in this, that you would be successful, that the word of God would, or that you would continue in the word of God, and that the word of God is true, and that you believe the word of God, and it will help you and it will help others. Luke 8, verse 15. says, but the seed on the good soil stands for those who with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So it's a lot in this verse, but we can see that it is a learning experience, and that the word is put into good soil, and those with a noble and good heart can be productive upon hearing the word. Upon hearing the word, they retain it. They keep that word, and they look over that word, and they find out the depths of that word, and it produces a crop. Let's look at James 1 and verse 21 and 25. I want to look at. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So we have some work to do. We have some work to do. If this applies to you, it applies to me. We have some work to do. Verse 25, and this lesson is yours. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. We need those words today. We need to know that if we continue to read our Bibles, we continue to study the Word of God, that our lives will be blessed, that we can lead a life and have a happy life. Be happy about the life that we're living. We can help others. We can help those around us. We can help ourselves. It says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, not just hearing the word, but doing the word, he will be blessed in what he does. That's whatever we do. We have young people that are making decisions today that will impact them the rest of their lives. How many of us are here today that are in an older age group that realize that at a certain time in our life we made choices and decisions that affect us to this very day? We need to have faith. We need to have faith that the Lord will help us. If you're not a Christian, you need to take some steps. The steps of salvation are these. You need to hear the word. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to believe. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must repent of our sins. Acts 17, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You need to confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Matthew 10, and verse 32. Verse 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And we need to be baptized. Mark 16 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So those are some steps that we need to know about. If we are Christians and we've fallen short, we need to reunite our forces with the Lord. We are soldiers, and soldiers are an army. If you're not in the army, you're alone, and it's a dangerous world. Not that being in the army will protect you. You need to be a soldier first. You need to hear the word. You need to adjust your life accordingly to the word. And if these words are would help you in your life today, we would ask you to come and have a seat on the front seat as we rise and sing our song of invitation.